You're listening to ABC Radio Perth
with Gillian O'Shaughnessy.
Well, I founded it when I was working in Los Angeles, California, and I was teaching at UCLA, and I found Los Angeles to be the noisiest city I'd ever been to, and I found UCLA to be the noisiest campus that I'd ever been to, and so I tried to do something about it. As you mentioned, you know, noise is increasing, and noise complaints are increasing, and noise is definitely a threat to quality of life, and it's also a threat to health.
What kind of noise, when you talk about living in a city and the noise levels being unacceptable, what kind of noises are you talking about?
Oh, many, many different types of noise. Helicopters, leaf blowers, loud car stereos, motorcycles, car alarms, you know, airplanes, you know, hedge trimmers, barking dogs, nightclubs, cars and trucks. You know, Los Angeles especially, you know, is a car culture and a 24/7 culture, and people love to be out in their cars all the time, and also with the fact that it's such warm weather, you know, people can mow their lawn and use leaf blowers and hedge trimmers pretty much 12 months a year, and, you know, people are on loud motorcycles 12 months a year. So, you know, warm weather can be a real problem for people who love peace and quiet because warm weather brings out the noisemakers.
Well, we are a very car-centric city over here in Western Australia, in Perth, Ted, so we can probably learn something from your experience. How damaging is noise pollution?
Oh, it's very damaging, very damaging. It is damaging helps produce heart disease and hearing loss and sleep deprivation. It is a source of stress. It is a source of chronic fatigue. Noise is related to aggressive behavior. Noise is related to high blood pressure. There have actually been studies, too, showing that excessive noise impairs educational and cognitive development. There was actually a study in New York City years ago where an elementary school, one side of it was next to the train tracks, and the other side was not next to the train tracks. And amazingly enough, you know, the students on the non-noisy side did significantly better in standardized testing. They could concentrate much more easily.
Ted Reuter is our guest on ABC Radio Perth. I'm Jill O'Shaughnessy, and Ted's the founder of Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet. Is this one of the number one issues facing many neighbourhoods, do you believe, Ted?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The U.S. Census Bureau a few years ago did a survey of why people were upset or what people didn't like about their neighbourhoods, and noise was their number one complaint, and it was also the number one reason why they wished to leave the neighbourhood. Also, New York City has a quality of life hotline. People can call 311 to complain about quality of life issues, and about 90% of the calls concern noise. You know, hundreds of thousands of calls every year to the New York City hotline concerning noise. And so it's definitely something that people care about, that people are concerned about, and people realize that it's a threat to quality of life and it's a threat to their health and well-being.
What would you say, Ted, to people who say, well, if you live in a vibrant city, you need to expect some level of noise?
Well, yeah, but, you know, vibrant doesn't necessarily have to mean loud. I mean, people still have the right to sleep. You know, Mayor Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, was the mayor of New York City, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and he tried to crack down on car alarms because they're useless and pointless and simply generate noise. He tried to crack down on noisy nightclubs. Because, you know, people still have to get to sleep. I mean, they talk about New York City as a city that never sleeps, but people have to sleep. And, you know, a nightclub should not be noisy until, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, and people should have the right to sleep. I think one issue, especially in big cities, is that there should be further regulations on window protection, on, you know, double-pane windows and other noise-dampening, you know, window technologies so that people can sleep, you know, even in a city that's very vibrant.
What is your major goal? What would you like to achieve, Ted?
Oh, we've got an extensive legislative agenda, but I would say probably the two issues that people in our group are most concerned about are leaf blowers and loud motorcycles. You know, gas-powered leaf blowers are very damaging, not only in terms of noise, but they also produce an incredible amount of air pollution. And so we would like, you know, people certainly to not use gas-powered leaf blowers, but if they are going to use leaf blowers, and some landscaping companies will, we would much prefer that they use battery-operated leaf blowers because they are far quieter and they also generate no noxious emissions. Now, as far as motorcycles, we have just published a book that is, we've got a website devoted to the book. It's called motorcyclenoise.org, and we would like the police to enforce existing regulations on noisy motorcycles. In the U.S., a lot of people think that motorcycles are naturally noisy, and that's simply not true, that motorcycles are noisy because of the deliberate actions of individual motorcycle owners. And so our guide is an aid, an assistance to police departments, police officers, to recognize illegal motorcycle equipment and therefore issue more citations and quiet things down.
Ted's from Noise Free America. He's been battling noise pollution, Ted and his group, for years. Do people take it seriously enough, Ted? Are people getting on the bandwagon with this idea?
It's becoming more prevalent that people are willing to speak up about it. We've had dozens of people write to us and say something like, "Thank goodness I found your organization. I thought I was the only one who was bothered by all this noise. It's great to know that other people feel the same way." And so, you know, we have lots of people who contact us, you know, about their noise problems. And I think people are starting to realize that, you know, noise is not necessary. Noise is not natural. Noise does not have to take place. And, you know, people are starting to stand up more and more for the right to peace and quiet.
Now, tell us a few of the smart ideas, Ted, some cities are putting into place. There's places around the world who are really front-footing this.
Yeah, I would say the one in the most significant in the United States is Elkhart, Indiana, which is near the University of Notre Dame, you know, famous university in the U.S., and I've actually visited Elkhart twice, and we'll visit them again in a couple weeks. And what they do is if they have a police officer who is devoted exclusively to fighting noise, he drives around in an unmarked car, and he issues citations to people who have loud car stereos and very loud motorcycles. And usually in previous years, the noise control officer has generated about $200,000 a year in revenue, you know, which more than pays for, you know, the police officer's salary and the equipment. They also have billboards up around town about the need to quiet things down. You know, they have signs along the road as well. And what they have found is that their noise control officer has actually issued more citations for illegal guns and drugs and parole officers than any other police officer on the force in their town. So in other words, they're finding out that fighting noise is a great way to fight crime, and that cracking down on people who make extreme noise is a great way to identify, you know, people with criminal intentions.
Well, not all noises aren't equal, I would say, Ted, because there's the noise of birds singing and the ocean crashing, and there's
that's not noise. Those are sounds. Noise is unwanted sound. And so certainly, you know, birds and children and oceans, those are all welcome sounds. So those are not noise. Those are sounds. Those are welcome, pleasant sounds.
What is your pet hate noise?
I would probably say cars that honk when the owner locks the car. I just find that completely unnecessary. And what's especially difficult is that if you're in a parking lot, there's a good chance you're going to be kind of assaulted by that noise. And so I actually try to, you know, go shopping and go to the post office at off-peak hours when there are fewer cars in the parking lot, because any number of times I've been assaulted by very loud, you know, car honking tied to the keyless entry system, and it often gives me a headache.
I have to ask you about this issue we have here, which is always contentious, Ted.
Okay.
And I sort of made a reference to it a little bit earlier. So what you get a lot in Perth, which is still a very growing city, and it has lots of old music venues and old pubs and this kind of thing. And people move into the area because they want to live in the city, and then they will complain and want the music venue shut down. So this causes, and some people will say, well, you shouldn't have moved there. And other people say, well, we, you know, have a right to live in the city as well. So, I mean, what do you say to that argument? Because it happens all the time here.
Well, I think they might understand both sides of the argument. I would say that oftentimes the club owners have an ability to reduce noise. I mean, they can, you know, consult with noise control engineers and institute noise dampening technologies. And so I think one problem I have is when the noise is outside, when the music is outside, you know, either on the patio or sometimes on the roof, which is even worse because, of course, the noise, you know, travels further. I mean, my suggestion would be, you know, keep the music inside and adopt all of the noise dampening technologies and methods that you can to try to be a good neighbor.
Ted, so nice to meet you. Good luck with your campaign, and thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it very much.